Blog Talk Radio.
Era noaptea târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că n-a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Și odată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Te-am adus aici, că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Ce m-ai adus să mă arzi aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome you to today's program. This is the Light of Truth radio program. As always, in case you don't know who we are, we're just a ministry trying to do the work of God. I think this is the best way that I can put it. This is the most succinct way that I can put it. I am Michael Boldea, your humble host. And today, as we are wont to do every time that we come on the air, we will bring to you the unfiltered, unadulterated truth of God's Word. We will discuss some current events that very likely may have prophetic implications. And if time permits, even do a headline from Sodom or two, as well as portraits of peace. Because, well, let's face it, there's never a shortage of portraits of peace. If you want to find a headline regarding the religion of peace and see a new and extremely disturbing portrait of peace, you will find it. Now, we will also be answering your questions on today's program, and hopefully, Lord willing, time permitting, finishing up our discussion on the doctrine of baptisms. And we will be ending it, of course, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been discussing the baptism of the Holy Spirit over the last two programs, this being the third. And I think that with today, we will likely close it out. We will be returning to the topic of the Holy Spirit eventually. We will be returning to the topic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit eventually, because these are very deep wells. This is what we need to understand. We can't take such vast doctrines and address them superficially. We can't go about ministry in a superficial manner and still expect to have the favor and the blessing of God, because God's expectation of his children is that we grow every day, that we mature every day, that we draw closer to him every day. And so even though these last three programs have been a discussion on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is so much more to delve into, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the person of the Holy Spirit. And these are things that we will do if the Lord permits, as Paul was wont to write. But for now, I know it sounds like an ambitious 60 minutes, but we've done it before. And with God's help, we will continue to do it week in and week out, because apparently somebody's listening. If not live, then you're listening via YouTube. Even a few someones, actually. And that gives us the energy and the motivation to, well, keep going, to keep doing these programs, and hopefully to continue to point the way to Jesus Christ. Because if we're not consistent in presenting Christ every single day, if we're not consistent in presenting the cross every single day, if we're not consistent in pointing the way to Jesus, then we failed in our calling and we failed in our duty. And this is where a lot of people get sidetracked. This is where a lot of people lose sight of the prize, because it becomes about them and it becomes about their ministries and it becomes about their calling and it becomes about their brand. And they lose sight of Jesus. They lose sight of the fact that though they've been called to a specific purpose. And that specific purpose is not to lift themselves up. It's not to elevate their own person. It's to lift high the name of Christ Jesus. Now, that said, we cannot remain ignorant of what is going on around us as though we were unaffected by it, because the noose is tightening. The children of God are being singled out. They're being marginalized. They're being criminalized and outright persecuted in this country. Those who would speak up for decency and those who would speak up for morality and those who would speak up for the basic tenets of normalcy are being labeled bigots, accused of having some sort of phobia or another, and looked upon as though they are the strange ones. Looked upon as though they are the abnormal ones. So the recent hubbub that's been in the headlines and that's been bantied about, as the kids like to say, has been the bill that North Carolina signed into law, that the governor then chose to sort of walk back, namely that if you have boy parts, you use the boys' bathroom. And if you have girl parts, well, to the ladies you go. Now, even something as rational as that was met with indignation by both rock stars who will never have to suffer the indecency of sharing a public bathroom with any of us, and the mayors of both New York and San Francisco, who decided they would be the champions of the perverted and the mouthpieces of the pederast. Pressure was brought upon the state of North Carolina by big, big corporations. And it was done so consistently that the governor finally gave in. Look, everyone from Disney to the NFL was up in arms, all because a bill was signed that once again stated that men should use men's bathrooms and women should use women's bathrooms. How dare we? How dare we expect someone to use gender-specific bathrooms? Downright un-American. That's bigoted. That's blah, blah, blah. Whatever other idiot thing they can come up with. I'm sorry that your perversion is yours to carry. But your perversion is not a civil rights issue. The fact that you have mental issues and decide to put on a dress being a man ought not to force me to expose my children to your lunacy. Look, I'd be all for this bill if every moron who got on their soapbox, from Bruce Springsteen to Governor Cuomo, would sign a legally binding contract that they will spend 10 minutes in a locked room with the father of the first little boy or the first little girl who gets fondled or groped, touched, or worse. Honestly, sign the contract. Do that. Do that, you self-righteous blowhards. Spend 10 minutes in a locked room with the dad of the first child that will get molested in a public bathroom because you gave free rein to the perverted and the pederasts. And I'll go along with it. But they won't do it. The fools who foam at the mouth talking about equality will never have to deal with the fallout of their equality. Since when do the rights of a finite minority trample the rights of an overwhelming majority? I realize this is not a political show, but this is what's going on in this nation. This is what is happening right before our very eyes, and to bury our head in the sand, to pretend as though it's not happening, is not an option any longer. And so I will ask the question again. Since when do the rights of a finite minority trample the rights of an overwhelming majority? Not only that, but what they're asking, nay, what they're demanding, is that we throw out the entire construct of the human being and dismiss the science of gender. And these are the selfsame individuals who call Christians science deniers and other such lovely names. Who's denying science? Really, let's hash this out. Who is denying science? If you refuse to call yourself a man or a woman, having been born a man or a woman, who's the one denying science? Will this madness ever end? The hard answer is that no, it will not end. This madness will not end. Everyone thought that it would end with homosexuals getting married. But they just jumped on to the next perversion. And once this is settled, once they've managed to browbeat decent folk into submission, there will be another mountain to climb, another cause celeb to trumpet, and another brick to remove from the already rickety foundation of morality in this nation. I was having lunch with Gino today. He went out to lunch first. I went out 30 minutes later, and we ended up in the same Mexican restaurant. So it was serendipity, I guess. When I saw him, I asked if I could sit. He said I could, because Gino's a nice guy. And, you know, we started talking, and we began discussing this very topic, actually. And Gino was wondering where they could possibly go from here. Because that's what we were wondering the last time and the last time and the last time. Where could they possibly go from here? And without missing a beat, I said to him, pedophilia. It is the next logical step, and you've already seen, and you're already seeing supposed studies being brought to the forefront, insisting that the kids really want it, and that not all pedophilic relations are to be looked down upon or disdained. Look, I've said it to you before. I will say it again, and I will continue to say it until I can't say it anymore. Sin does not stop. Sin doesn't stop. Sin is ignorant. Sin consumes. Sin eats away at the host until the host is no more. And I guarantee you, every time one of these issues comes up, each more heinous than the last, they will trot out the same tired lines about people being bigoted and having phobias and all the other nonsense that is just plain lunacy. I'm sorry. Okay, here it goes. You've got to call crazy crazy. Otherwise, you're as crazy as the crazy person you're calling sane. Did that make sense? If you don't call crazy crazy, then you're as crazy as the crazy person that you insist is sane. And this is how we've gotten here. We've got grown men dressing up as women, and we're calling them by women names. Just because you pretend to be a thing doesn't make you that thing. Pretend to be the founder of Facebook. If you try to go into his home, he'll call the cops and have you arrested. Bruce Jenner can pretend to be a woman all he wants. He's still Bruce. Take off the makeup, grow up, let it go. Now, you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, that's just one bridge too far for me. I don't think it'll ever come to that. You know, I think you're exaggerating. I think that you're just blowing it out of proportion because they have to be satisfied at some point. Because they keep getting everything they're asking for. They have to be satisfied at some point. They're not. They're never going to be satisfied at any point. If you think that I'm actually exaggerating, in a recent article, a man by the name of Peter Tatchell, a man whom the perverted Dima hero and a freedom fighter, wrote that not all sex involving children is unwanted and abusive. Do you want me to repeat that, or did you get it? Look, if the Lord tarries, I guarantee you this will be the next battle. The next thing that the church will be browbeaten into silence over, because let's face it, if we gave up ground so easily on everything else, we won't be putting up much of a fight when it comes to this either. The next issue that we will be confronted with, the next bandwagon that certain denominations are going to jump on, is going to be this. And you're going to have these louts, you're going to have these fools start touting tolerance and all-inclusiveness and Jesus loves everybody and all this stuff that's taken out of context. And you're going to have entire denominations trying to justify the unjustifiable, trying to protect perverts, and trying to make us who see the rot for what it is seem unloving and intolerant. Look, this is the reality that we are currently living, and it is undeniable. We make heroes of monsters, and we make monsters of good men. We idolize the perverted and the depraved while mocking innocence and making light of hard work. We're barreling headfirst towards destruction, laughing all the way. And we're not realizing that we're the punchline. We're the joke. We are the punchline the world is laughing at. And we no longer even entertain the idea that they're just laughing with us. We now know that they are laughing at us. Everyone squeaks and squawks about equality, but equality really isn't what they're after, is it? The desired result, what is being sought and pursued with vigor, is for the majority to be culled and made to heal and be ruled over by a minority. This is the only equality that they will accept. And most people are indolent enough, concerned only with instant gratification rather than the long-term effects of what is being done, to be bothered.
Well, as long as my show's still on, as long as I can go to the movies.
Give them bread and give them circus. And the vast majority will care not a whit about what is being done behind the scenes or the perilous edge their nation is balancing upon. We treat more harshly someone who forgets to feed their pet breakfast than one who willfully murders unborn baby. We laugh at sin and we refuse to acknowledge the consequences of it. And finally, we end up finding someone else to blame for the shambles our life has become once the cancer of our depravity has run its course. Once all that remains is an empty shell with broken dreams and a dark and haunted future. And in large part, the church is to blame. Because the church, the one place that ought to be a safe haven for the broken, that ought to be a safe haven for the bruised and the hungry, has become a home to thieves and hucksters. It's become a home to two-bit con artists and confidence men who come up with wilder and wilder stories, promising bigger and bigger returns on one's investment, hoping to snare yet another gullible innocent in their web. Look, indulgences at this point within the church are as readily available for their right price as they've always been. And if you've got enough cash, you will surely find someone to talk you right through the pearly gates into Abraham's bosom using the VIP entrance. They are everywhere, and they are multiplying. And it seems like they're in a race to the bottom as far as what God requires and as far as what man's responsibility towards God is. Because the easier they make it, the easier they tell people that it will be for them to get into heaven, the more subscribers they have and the more supporters they have and the bigger their ministries get. See, if you want to have a small ministry for the rest of your life, preach repentance. If you want to have a small ministry for the rest of your life, preach righteousness and holiness unto God. If you want to have a small ministry for the rest of your life, preach Jesus the way that the Word of God tells us we're supposed to preach Jesus. And you will be scorned by men. And those you would call brothers will hate you for it. Because, well, there's so many making the path so much easier. Who are you to tell us that that's not true? To be honest with you, I'm nobody, but the Word of God tells you it's not the truth. The Word of God tells you what God requires of you in order for you to be reconciled unto him. Let's face it, maintaining one's integrity in a climate such as this is becoming more and more of a struggle. Especially when you know that you can come up with better shtick on your worst day than most of these oily peacocks prancing about on the stage. Look, I can come up with some doozies. If I were so inclined and I didn't fear God, I could twist some verses like you wouldn't believe and make the path so wide you could drive a semi through it. But I fear God. And I know that one day I will stand before him. One day I will have to answer for the things that I taught and the things that I sowed into other people's lives. From time to time, you find yourself growing envious of the naive even. You find yourself growing envious of the ignorant even. You know the ones, the ones that are waiting at the bus stop for one-way charters to heaven. Because at least for now, it seems their ignorance affords them this blanket of bliss that knowledge stripped from you long, long ago. Look, the truth makes you free, but it also makes you aware. The truth makes you free, but it also opens your eyes. The truth makes you free, but it also makes you accountable. I find myself becoming more and more cynical, and I don't like it. I find myself looking for the angle, even with those people who identify themselves as Christians. And the sad reality is that most often, the angle that they're playing isn't very well concealed. And worst by far, at least as far as I'm concerned, is that by and large the enemy has deceived much of the church into believing the lie that though they serve a supernatural God, he no longer does supernatural works. We are, by all accounts, and this observation is undeniable, we are, by all accounts, a world upended. And sadly, a church upended. And because we no longer believe in the manifest power of an engaged God, we mistake darkness for light, and we do so far too often. And we reject the truth as though it were a lie with startling regularity. Oh, and by the way, to the gentleman who wrote me telling me to stop having a conniption over these things because they're the law of the land and we're supposed to obey the law of the land, you, sir, are a fool. And I despise you for attempting to spiritualize your cowardice. We are commanded to obey the law of the land only insofar as it does not oppose the law of God. We are commanded to obey the law of the land only insofar as it does not, and it is not, in diametrical opposition to the word of God. Everything that is lawful is ethical. Not everything that is lawful is just. Not everything that is lawful is right. Abortion is lawful. The Supreme Court decided murder perfectly fine as long as it was committed within the confines of the womb, and even if the baby was only halfway out of the birth canal. Does this make it right? Does this make it ethical? Does this make it just? So stop trying to camouflage your cowardice with idiotic arguments that have no biblical basis. It's unbecoming. It angers me. Because these are the kind of justifications men will use to betray brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the kinds of justifications men will choose to take the mark of the beast. These are the kinds of justifications men will use to do absolutely everything and anything. Because they take out of context a certain snippet of a verse that suits their cowardice, that justifies their cowardice, that keeps them from looking in the mirror and seeing the reality of what is staring back. Someone that's in it to save their own skin. Someone that's in it only for themselves. Someone who will readily, at the drop of a hat, betray Jesus if it started to cost them something more than throwing a dollar in a plate every other Sunday. So don't you dare tell me to stop talking about these things because it's the law of the land. There's a lot to cover today, and I always promise myself I'm not going to get angry. Right before every program, I promise myself that I will dial it back a little bit, and every time something happens where I can't do it. And this was the one thing this week. A lengthy email telling me that it's okay because it's the law of the land. Now, the other big news of the day, and this coincides prophetically with certain things that have been shown in the past, is that there are currently nationwide marches going on demanding a $15 per hour minimum wage. Now, granted, the economics of such a demand are unworkable, but people don't care. Who cares if you can't spell your name? Or don't know how to read at a second grade level? $15 an hour sounds good to me. Look, the reality of our modern age is that the masses of individuals who feel disenfranchised will continue to grow. And men of vile and evil intent will inevitably and unavoidably continue to fuel and fan the flames of this disenfranchisement. Why is this relevant? Why am I speaking about this? Well, because one can plainly see how the fulfillment of such prophetic utterance as there being an internal revolution in America can readily come to pass. It's not going to take a lot to push a lot of people over the edge. There are so many powder kegs. It's only a matter of time before a lit match lands in the right place. Couple that with what's going on internationally, and you get a picture of where we're at. There is no safe space. This is the reality of the world that we live in. Look, just look at what's happening. You couple what's going on internally with the fact that the Russians are starting to test our defenses more aggressively, with the fact that there have been earthquakes throughout in just the past 48 hours. And you have yourself an interesting summer ahead. But again, this is another thing that's worth keeping an eye on, as though there wasn't enough drama in the world, as is. The fact that we've had 4 major earthquakes in Japan within the span of 48 hours. As I'm doing this radio program live today, within the past 48 hours, there have been 4 major earthquakes in Japan. Remember the words of Jesus? Remember what he said? Let me refresh. Jesus said there would be earthquakes in various places. Yes, there have always been earthquakes, but the intensity and the frequency of them escalating. Jesus prophesied about the times that we're living in. And though we are beginning to see the signs of the end times, there's still men getting on television insisting that we're not going to be here for those things. We're not going to be here for those times, because we're going to take the bus to the sky, to the heaven above. Hallelujah. Where's the bus? Did you miss it? Where's the bus? Please understand. The Left Behind books were works of fiction. They were not biblical doctrine. If you base your eschatology, if you base your beliefs, if you base your doctrinal foundation on a bunch of fictional books, then I feel pity for you. Read the words of Jesus. Read the book of Revelation regarding these last days. And understand while reading these things that the Bible was written specifically for the children of God. The Bible wasn't written for the godless. They neither understand it nor know it. It's foolishness to them. Why would God, infinite wisdom, include all of these passages regarding the last days? Tell us what will happen, from earthquakes in various places to pestilences. Can anyone say the word Zika? That's just started. It's going to get so bad. Oh, it's going to get so bad. And then among those things, you're going to have brothers betraying brothers, the hearts of many growing cold, false prophets and false teachers and false Christs. Oh, my. And there's countless believers that read these things and go to themselves, well, thankfully I won't be here for those things. Who was the book written for? Why were those things included within the pages of Scripture? Do you think that it's so that we'd be up in heaven looking down going, oh, Jesus was so right? Use a little common sense. All I ask is that you use a little reason. God loves logic. God is not an enemy of reason. God adores common sense. Use it. Understand the times that you're living in. And prepare yourself. With that, I want to get to a couple of questions that I received from a couple of people. And from there, we will go wherever the Lord leads us, hopefully to the conclusion of our talk on the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our first question was posted to the YouTube account. See, I even checked that. And it is regarding last week's program, and the question is as follows. I listened, trying to understand. Clarify, please. Are you saying that the way one can lose their salvation is to altogether turn your back on Christ and not for just any sin? Huh. Well, sin can be repented of. You can commit a sin and repent of it. And I'm not talking about habitual sin. I'm not talking about willful disobedience. I'm talking about sin that is committed wherein you get angry and you say something you shouldn't, or countless other things, but you can repent of that. You come before God, you cry out for forgiveness, and God will forgive you. Because He is a good God. He is a God that receives repentance. He is a God that receives the repentant heart. He restores men unto Himself if repentance is forthcoming. Now, when a man rejects Christ, when they trample upon the blood of the Son of God, then the way to God is shut up for them. They have rejected He who is the way. So, unrepented of sin separates you from God. But all that needs to take place in order for you to be reconciled unto Him is repentance. A man who has rejected Jesus, a man who's turned his back on Jesus, unless something otherworldly occurs and they return, that man is lost. Our second question comes from Thea, and it is as follows. Brother Michael, excellent teaching on the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. I have a question. I know your grandfather and you have had angelic visitations, and they have shown you both the prophetic future concerning America. There are many that say they are visiting the throne of God. Some, like Rick Joyner, said Enoch visited him. Others have Jesus and angels appear. I know in these last days there is increased angelic activity as the demonic activity increases, but there will also be false manifestations. Please, will you speak about the differences in order for Christians to discern? Please speak about the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, Rick Joyner, Mike Bickle, etc. Thank you and God bless, Thea. As far as the two men you named, I've heard the names. I don't know the men. But given the times that we're living in, skepticism is warranted. Not just of these two men, but of any man, including myself, claiming a prophetic mantle, or claiming to have had angelic visitations, or having visited the throne room of God. So the question is, how do you know which is true and which isn't? Short answer, by giving them the scriptural litmus test. Look, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, and in Galatians 1:8, he writes the following profundity. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So let's unpack this a little bit. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and his first words are, if we or an angel from heaven preach any gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul even left open the possibility that at some point in the future he might be deceived. Do you get that? Does that process, do you understand the depth of that reality? Paul left open the possibility that at some point in the future, he himself might be deceived. He left open the possibility that he might one day return to the Galatians with a gospel other than the true gospel. And he said to them, even if I show up and preach another gospel to you, don't believe me. If you see me physically standing before you preaching another gospel than what we've already preached, know that I have been compromised. Know that I am not preaching the gospel of Christ any longer. This is what Paul was saying. And I've seen this play out a few times in my life. I've known pastors who preached the righteousness of God. I've known pastors who preached true repentance. I've known pastors who preached the gospel. And then they fell into sin. And I remember the things they used to preach. And then I heard them preach again. And it was like night and day. No longer was the message repentance. No longer was the message righteousness. No longer was the message holiness. It was something totally different than what they preached up to that point. Then Paul takes it to a whole nother level. And he said, even if an angel from heaven came to you preaching another gospel, don't believe him. Let him be accursed. So you will know the veracity of an individual not by what he says he saw, or who he says came to him, or where he says he went, but by the gospel they preach. Let me repeat that, because that's basically the answer to your question. You will know the veracity of an individual not by what he says that he saw, not by where he says he has been or who he says came to him, but by the gospel he preaches. If they preach Christ and him crucified, hear them out. Weigh everything, judge everything, but hear them out. Now, if they come to you with another gospel, then be accursed. It doesn't matter who they are. If the gospel they preach is not the gospel of Christ, then they are not of Christ. It's that simple. If the gospel they preach is not the gospel of Christ, they themselves are not of Christ. Look, we've had enough warnings throughout the New Testament regarding the times in which we're living. We've had enough writings by everyone from Peter to Paul to Mark to Matthew to Luke to the words of Jesus himself in the land, and the false teachings that they will spread, and their desires to snare the innocent. Given that these false teachings and false doctrines are spreading like a cancer, caution is our ally and our friend. Be cautious. receive everything you hear as though it were gospel. Look into the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. Stop living with the expectation of being spoon-fed spiritual things. My desire is to stir in you a hunger for the things of God. My desire is to stir in you a hunger for the Word of God, so that you go to it yourself and study it diligently. The reality is this. Of all the things that Jesus warned about in the last days, he warned of false prophets, false teachers, and false Christs most of all. That in itself should give us reason for pause. That in itself should make us cautious. Now, I hope I've answered your question. And those of you that have questions, please email them in. I'll try to answer them as I am able. But since we've got a few minutes left, let me do this real quick, because we've discussed the ways in which the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be received biblically. But it's only fair that we discuss the obstacles that stand in the way of receiving this gift, because I get a lot of correspondence from people that feel as though they've lost their intimacy with God, from people that feel as though they're not where they should be in their relationship with God. And for many today, the greatest obstacle standing in the way of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the preconceived notions that they harbor and cling to. You have to realize that when Jesus told his disciples to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, he didn't go into detail. He didn't explain how they would receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't talk about the tongues of fire that would descend. He didn't tell them about the tongues that they would speak or the gifts that would follow. They waited in Jerusalem as commanded until the promise descended. Now, some have already made up their minds concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they will not be swayed. Though one might try to biblically prove out the actuality of this gift, their preconceived beliefs keep them from receiving it. God says he will give, but there's a stipulation: you must ask. God says he will open, but there's a stipulation: you must knock. You initiate. God responds. Now, the second obstacle standing in the way of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that of discouragement. Man has a tendency to grow discouraged if his expectations are not met. Discouragement can come about if the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is delayed. Yes, sometimes God tests our patience, and all we can do is persevere and wait on the Lord until he pours out his blessing. We cannot dictate terms to God. We are servants, thus we serve, and wait on him, knowing all things come to pass in his time. The third obstacle is doubt. Many professing Christians today doubt the very existence of this promise, as well as the possibility of coming into possession of it. Listed in the top tier of obstacles that stand in the way of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also lack of consecration, as well as the refusal to confess one's sins. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit is seen as merely an alternative or an option, then problems will surely arise. The baptism of the Holy Spirit must be seen as a necessity. And this is why a complete and total dedication, as well as a hunger and desire for this baptism, are paramount. Now, since we have a whole 2 minutes left, and an often misunderstood component of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the evidence thereof, I just want to touch on it briefly. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is comprised of two elements. First, the receiving of a special power from the Holy Spirit. And second, the physical initial sign of the presence of this baptism, which is manifested by speaking in tongues. Yes, speaking in tongues is biblical, and it is the immediate evidence of having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit through which the believer speaks in another tongue, a tongue that he has not studied nor learned. Now, tongues can either be known languages of this earth, but they can also be unknown languages, unknown tongues. Speaking in tongues can be received as a sign that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or as a gift, meaning one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. When speaking in tongues is the sign that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the believer and the Holy Spirit unite and praise and verbally prophesy. Tongues are not provoked by the mind of man, but they do work in concert with our mental faculties. Now, I realize that there's still many aspects of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we didn't get a chance to cover, but time is limited, and we will probably return to this topic more than once throughout our journey. For now, however, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. And with that, Gino, you have the floor.
All right. God bless you all. The program will be put up on YouTube by Monday. And we want to thank everyone for listening. If you want to email a question for Mike, email at lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. And God bless you. You all have a great night.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.